Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek the protection of God from Shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM listeners, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I am your host this evening, Quran Shakir, along with my esteemed co-host, Mark Shahid, and it is our distinct honor to welcome you to tonight's program. It is my pleasure to also be tonight's engineer and co-producer. We call this program a learning lab, which means it is a place to examine, explore, and find answers to the intricacies of what it takes to find one's other half and to find joy, peace, and tranquility in the marriage relationship. We invite you to grab a pen and pad and journey with us to examine sound approaches to finding a mate and the do's and don'ts and prescriptions for maintaining a successful, tranquil, growth-filled marriage. We ask you to pause right now with us so that you can go ahead and text your family and friends or make a post on social media to let them know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab right here on IWDM. In doing that, you want to say to them, hey, I'm listening to IWDM, and there's a great show on called the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Tell them to join you by dialing 714-816-4673. And now, dear beloved listeners, without further ado, it is my esteemed honor and pleasure to welcome my co-host to tonight's program, the wonderful and the esteemed Mark Shahid. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, Brother Mark.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu. وَشَهَدُوا أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ بَعْدِ. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. And I'm Mark Shahid, I'm the host, the facilitator, and the producer, along with Quran Shakir, of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Thursday night right here on IWDM Radio. And for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, or what, we just completed the 6th anniversary of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we do, as Quran has already said, invite you to participate, as this is your learning lab. And how you can participate is to bring an open mind, an open heart to some of the information that Quran and I will be disseminating this evening. And we also say that you should be prepared to come to the lab, to bring it to the lab as is classroom style, in terms of bringing your pen and your pad so you can take some notes if you find some things to be noteworthy. We do invite you to ask questions and also to make comments. You may want to add something to tonight's communication, information that we'll be disseminating tonight. And also those of you who may just tune in, like to listen in, maybe tonight try pressing 1, if you would, and letting us know that some of the things that we may be saying tonight is resonating with you. We love to hear from you. And those who may be listening in by way of the internet, you'll have to call in to the studio live if you have a question or comment. And you can do that by dialing 714-816-4673. Once again, that's 714-816-4673. We would love to hear from you. And we also ask that you utilize all the other facilities that have been established with this learning lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We ask that you do bring it to the lab at gmail.com. That's our email address. Anything that you would like to drop in terms of suggestions for futuristic topics, Karen and I would love to hear from you, or any comments that you would like to make. We would love to hear from you, and we also like for you to like us on Bring It to the Lab, our Facebook there, as Karan always posting, and we ask that you do respond and get involved. Instagram, Bring It to the Lab. Instagram, you can communicate with us outside of this learning lab here on IWDM Radio. Just want to say that the foundation that we use here for the Learning Lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, is Al-Quran. That is the Quran, the final revelation by Almighty God, is the foundation and the demonstration of the Quran, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the prayers and peace be upon him, in the demonstration of the Quran as the foundation, and also the orientation that Imam Muhammad has given to us, tafsir, which is clear explanation, is used as a foundation. Now we have, since being on IWDM Radio, we have selected an excellent textbook that we have been using that's been authored by one of our very distinct sisters here in the association, Sister Akila Nafisa Rashid. And the name of the publication is Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet and Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. It's a very unique publication indeed, as she uses the word ripple. And you know that's six letters in the word ripple. Each one of those letters, they are symbolic of principles that you should have in making that Muslim marriage makeover. And we have thus completed here on the Learning Lab, R, which stands for respect, and we completed intimacy. We have completed that, and now we are on partnership. And after partnership, that second P would represent peace, and the L, love, and finally the final letter E, equality. Now, there are chapters that are underneath these principles, and I think that we're on the last one tonight, which is charity starts at home. We just most recently completed the chapter, and Karan, I'll tell you what chapter that is, on prayer, which is some very beneficial information that we actually made commentary on based on some of the excerpts from the book. So we won't be able to give everything, but Karan has highlighted some things that she feels though is noteworthy, and we'll make some commentary on that, because we do want you to purchase this outstanding publication, and Karan will let you know how you can purchase it. It would be good to have it as we continue to utilize it in the class until we complete the wholeness of the acronym RIPPLE. And we want to say that some of the things that we have established here in terms of courtship, that this is the courtship of from an Islamic perspective, the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. This is something that we will be covering in future learning labs. And also, we want to also disseminate information, education, that will help us in terms of what a healthy, a wholesome, sacred institution of marriage would really look like. And all, as we have said, that this is what it is that Allah has established. And this is His marriage. This is His institution that He has established for us, designed for our growth and development, so that we can reach the destiny that Allah wants as human creation. And the sacred institution of marriage is a part of that will and plan that God has for us. So with no further ado, those of you who are listening in, know we always have an overview from the previous learning lab. And for that, we go back to our very distinguished and esteemed co-host and co-facilitator of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Grant Shakir. Assalamu alaikum once again, Grant.
Wa alaikum assalam and alhamdulillah. It is so wonderful to be here once again, and I'm excited to share with our listening audience what we talked about on last week. When we looked at chapter 13, the idea that charity starts at home, we were looking at principle number three. And that principle number three is partnership. And as you said, you shared that principle with us. And so we have already talked about respect and intimacy, and we were talking about the third principle of partnership. And this idea of partnership, we ask you, our listening audience, to commit to stack habits that benefit the relationship. Understanding, just as Brother Mark said, that marriage belongs to God. It is His. And in being His, then we put all of our efforts into pleasing Him and producing and creating inside of our relationships partnerships that make God smile at us and what we're doing. We talk about the fact that sometimes it is easy and noble to be generous and to give to others. But we don't always think about giving at home and that charity that's necessary to give at home. We looked at the familiar quote of charity begins at home and then spreads abroad. So we model charity inside of our home. And since our book looks at the model of Muhammad the Prophet in making waves in our marriages, then we of course, looked at the habits that he had in giving charity at home. And that was one of the first things that Aisha, his wife, talked about, was how charitable he was as a husband at home and how he made sure when he had finished all of his work outside of the house, when he came home, that he didn't sit down like the king with a crown on his head and just sit and wait to be served. He began serving inside of the house, and in serving inside of the house, then he was one who shopped for groceries, and he was one who cleaned around the house as needed and helped with the children as well. And we talked about how too often we have these unenlightened traditions, unenlightened information that makes us believe that it is the woman's duty to do all of that work alone, and that the husband doesn't have a responsibility inside of the house. And so we mentioned how that is far from the truth in Islam, and they share in that. They discuss how they want to share that responsibility, and the real job in that house is to make sure that home is clean and peaceful and easy to live in, and that's the responsibility of both of them. We mentioned how there is never a time in the believer's life they can't give charity, even if it is just a smile, and that is a hadith that we live by. And so we want to be in being charitable at home, give smiles and give loving conversations as a charitable act and as an act to be done in order to please God. And charity in our religion is purity. It's a way to purify our souls. So to be a partner, you have a part to serve, to help, to improve the people, to help bring purity inside of that relationship. We also mentioned the fact that we cannot use sex as a weapon in our relationship, and that conjugal relations are seen as charity as well. So helping others is not to be something that overwhelms or exhausts you, but it is an opportunity for us to give love in that relationship in a charitable way. And we have been taught in our religion that we don't give charity and then throw it back up in someone's face. because that just dismounts all the charity you've given. But we are very kind and loving with the way that we give our charity, and we do not go back and remind about that charity. We talked about, since it's about courtship on this program, then to be careful to look for someone who is charitable, and you can watch their behaviors in that courtship itself and decide, is this a person that I think I can live with them in the way they are able to give charity, to give love, and to give compassion in this relationship? When I talked about the unenlightened traditions, we mentioned that even though the mother may invest more time with the children while the husband is out making funds and making resources for the family, that it is still a shared responsibility. And whenever they are both honorable in caring for the family, then there is a blessing in that. And Allah mentions that in Surah 17, ayat 23 to 24, when he talks about the fact that the children are to give homage and love and respect to both of their parents because of the investment both of them have made. And that's an indicator that both make the investment for the family. Even though the mother may give suckle and may be the one to carry the life, is still a shared responsibility. I love this one, where we talked about hugging in that relationship as a charity and hug every single day. We need to hug at least once in the day, I say more. And then when we give a hug, give a 21-second hug. So whether you're giving that 21-second hug to yourself or to someone else, then give that 21-second hug, because that is the way to relieve the body and to groom yourself in a special way. I love the acronym that Brother Mark shared with us for HUGS, Help Us Grow Strong. I love that. Some of the things, as you said, we don't want to tell everything, but I think for the most part I've covered the majority of the things that we covered. And the final thing I want to say is that when we talk about the charity, and we talk about the work around the house and how the prophet sold his own clothes and helped with the cleaning and helped with the shopping, another thing that he did was that he helped and hired help. So when necessary, he invested by hiring someone to come into their home and help around their house, so it wasn't seen as just the wife's job. So he did not treat his wives like maids. He treated them as his mates. And that's very different. And I think that's an important conversation for us to have for those who are new to this idea. Then we invite your comments. We invite your questions. We invite you to tell us what you agree with or don't agree with in this discussion that we're having about the idea of charity being at home. But that's a part of building that partnership in the relationship, and that's principle 3. And inshallah, tonight we'll be on principle 4 from chapter 14. So, Mark, I now pause to allow you to make comments about the information that we just shared. And then if any of our listening audience wants to chime in, feel free, press 1, and we'll bring you into the conversation as well. If you are listening online, we do invite you to join us in the studio at 714-816-4673. And again, we invite you to invite your family and friends to join you, because we offer this program, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as a healing for our community and an opportunity for us to build this bedrock of our community life. All right, Mark, on you.
Alhamdulillah, I say takbir, Allah will akbar. Alhamdulillah, praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. Once again, an excellent, very substantive overview that you're giving, Quran Shakir. And so hopefully the radio listening audience was taking very good notes. A lot of great things was covered in terms of charity beginning at home. I want to make a few comments in regards to those who are in the courtship phase in terms of the observation, as we stated something last week. But it's so very, very important that we actually see how charitable is this potential mate, how generous in terms of generosity as they share with others in the community. But it's also very important, those who may be listening that are not married, that this is something for you in terms of really knowing how charitable you are with your family, that potential mate. So I'm speaking to those who are aspiring to be married. If you are a Muslima, or if you are female, you may not be Muslim, but if you're looking for a potential husband and that potential mate's mother is still living, you want to know how charitable is this person that you're looking at as a potential mate. How does he treat his sisters? Is he charitable in regards to that? Is he very charitable to other members of his family? How does he treat his neighbors and all? You want to know whether that quality or characteristic is actually there in that person. You know, you don't want to write the script for a potential mate and just say to them, this is what I want, this is what I'm looking for. But I have to also say, you have to be the person that you want to meet. In other words, if you're looking for someone that's very generous and express generosity and very charitable in community, but also in family life and all, then you should be that person too, you know, because what you want to have in a potential relationship, what we call partnership, sacred institution of marriage, you want to have reciprocity. And as a word tologist I use in the workshop and the learning lab is to realize each conscious initiative performed return other conscious initiative to you. You know, you want to be able to realize that each conscious initiative that's performed for me, I want to be able to return conscious initiative back to you. This is very, very important because when you're talking about charity, just look at it flowing back and forth, coming forth, and it's coming forth genuinely from the heart of the person, yeah, and then it's going to the heart of the person, and then it's being returned. So reciprocity is very, very important in the relationship, that the charity doesn't just go one way, just not one way. The Prophet Muhammad is an example of that, and he had beautiful wives. You know, that he served them, and they also served him. But, you know, it got lost as we began to move on in time, that in terms of identifying one's role is this, the other one's role is that. So as Quran has said, we gone over some of the things and seeing how the Prophet treated his wives, how he cared for them, how he cared for his family and all. And when was asked, how is he like at home? Well, Aisha, Rahim Allah, Anna, say, well, he serves his family. He serves his family. And so when we really truly are thinking about this, when we say that we really want to be good servants to Allah, and now we have to say, well, Allah doesn't need anything from us. He is the only one that's independent. But in our relationship, there's an interdependency. So just make sure that we put that word down here in the learning lab and begin to see that Allah has created us in pairs. And so that means that there's an interdependency. So we want to make sure that we write that out as I-N-T-E-R, interdependent. And that is what it is Allah wants us to have in the male-female relationship. This is very, very important. And when we look at the sacred institution of marriage in terms of charity, it doesn't have to be the big things. It could be the basic things. in my publication, The True Love Recipe from A to Z, when we get to the letter B, it is not the big things, but it's the basic things. You know, the observation in terms of knowing your spouse so very well. Brothers, you can flip the script. See what it is that your wife loves for breakfast. And maybe most of the time she prepared breakfast for you. But maybe you want to surprise her on a Saturday or Sunday morning or what. And maybe she loves fruit and maybe fresh juice or something of that nature. Or maybe a piece of toast to go along with that and all. So maybe you go out and get some cantaloupe, maybe some melon or something in the summertime, some honeydew. Some grapes or something, and make a fruit melody for her. And you might want to do some bagels and cream cheese or something like that, and she likes tea, and you get the tea that she likes, and you make breakfast for her, serve her in bed, or you could be at a table and you just call her down to her surprise that you've really paid attention, been very attentive, and so now you're doing something in form of charity that I'm quite sure that she will appreciate. And it's very important when we talk about charity to be very appreciative and let it be known that you appreciate. I've never at any time in any marriages that I've had that my wife would prepare anything that I didn't say thank you and always give a hug. Oftentimes in terms of even being charitable, sometimes we can become unconscious and begin to take our mate for granted. We don't want to do that. We always want to acknowledge the goodness, the generosity that we see in our mate. And this goes both ways, just not one way. It is not just, you know, say I'm speaking to men, but I'm speaking to women too. You see, because remember that word reciprocity. You want to establish that where that generosity is flowing back and forth. And never pull out a pencil or anything and do any arithmetic. Now, I did this for you. You should do this for me. I did this for you. You did it for me. No, we're not talking about that. And we're not talking about Teddy Pendergrass in terms of 50-50 love. No, we're not talking about that, you know. We want to receive as many blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we possibly can. So be generous to each other. Always look to do something, and it doesn't have to be big, but just basic things, and you'll really be appreciated in that relationship. So I wanted to just say that, and to say for those who are aspiring to get married, this is one of the things that you want in the observation and also in the communication, how this person actually in terms of treating family members, community members, neighbors, just the whole shebang. This is very, very important. And it will give you an idea of what qualities and characteristics this person have, and you should be able to see that one of their qualities being a charitable, a very generous person. So I'll stop with that, and I'm excited about getting ready to move on. I want to also encourage those of you listening in, if you just tune in a little late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir, and it was truly Mark Shaheed here, and we are in the publication of the that by my beloved sister Akilah Nafisa Rashid, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet and Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. And we're just tying a bow here on partnership, and we're going to be moving, as Quran said, to the second P, and that is peace. And boy, I just think about it, Quran. To really have the makeover for a better relationship, boy, what would a relationship look like without having peace in that. And so once again, back to you. And please, listeners, please press 1. If you have a question, you have a comment, or if you don't have a question or comment, if some of the things that we're saying is resonating with you, Karan, and I would love to hear from you. Karan?
Yes, sir. And I'm really excited to come to this next chapter, which is chapter 14. And for those of you who are listening, we do invite you to get involved with the conversation. We are using the book Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet to Make Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect by Akilah Nafisa Rashid. And that Ripple is an acronym for the principles that she has identified as necessary to build this harmonious marriage and this marriage that models Muhammad the Prophet. The acronyms stand for R, respect, I, intimacy, P, partnership, P, peace, L, love, and E, equality. Now as we get to chapter 14, principle number 4, peace, she introduces us to this idea of peace by honing in on the characteristics, our actions, and our attitudes and how they propel us. And I just want to say that marriages have phases. If we marry when we're very, very young, our emotions tend to be a little bit higher. We tend to be a little bit more fiery. And as we age and get older and in our relationships as older people, we tend not to get so upset over things that we may get upset over as a younger marriage. So the principle of peace is something that we really have to apply throughout, but that challenge may be bigger for our younger and young people who may not have gained control over their emotions just yet. So I think this is important for us to look at for all of us, but especially for our young people. And so we look at marriage itself. I don't think that anyone can raise their hand to say, I don't think that marriage has no challenges. It goes without any challenges. I think that's why it's a part of half of our practice of this spiritual life that we have, the social life that we have, because it is full of challenges. And those challenges improve our own religious practice. I think it makes us get closer to God, as inside of the marriage, when we have these challenges, we learn to pray more and ask God to guide us and to help us to be patient, to help us to be loving, to help us to be kind, to help us to be understanding. So we make those prayers, and we go to the Quran and try to live what Allah has said to us. But most importantly, we lay a foundation such that everything we do is in a response to our love of God and never what we want to displease him. So we're working very hard in those relationships, even with our challenges, to make sure that we are pleasing to Allah, to our Creator. So as much as marriage is a blessing, it is a challenge. And some may even say that they go through some challenges that make it almost like hell for them. But you can have peace inside of all of that, because God is a benefactor, and he can bring each of us through whatever challenges we are having. One of the things that the sister makes, Sister Akilah Rashid, makes as a point for us to have as this idea of establishing peace and looking at our actions and our attitudes is, number one, as a couple, lock arms and form a united front and weather, W-E-A-T-H-E-R, the weather the storms of marriage. So lock arms, yeah. And, you know, a few weeks ago we had Imam Vasha on, who talked about how we don't want to, the fight that we fight for our marriages and not fight in our marriages. And I really like that quote that he gave us in that, because this is what this is. When you lock arms and you work as a united front and you weather the storms of marriage, you're fighting for your marriage. So you don't have to fight in that marriage with each other as you're fighting for the marriage itself. And Shaitan is on a vicious, vicious journey
trying to destroy relationships and families, and we don't want him to have any joy in that. So we look to make sure we establish the peace. I love the very first ayat that she introduces. And one thing for those of you who are going to get the book, and I highly recommend that you get the book, she comes to the perspective of Quran. And so she begins with what Allah says to us in Quran. And throughout the book, she gives us lots of ayats to use as a focal point for going forward and maintaining some of these principles that she's presenting to us. So here, she uses Surah 6, Ayat 127, for peace. And she says, "For them will be a home of peace in the presence of their Lord. He will be their friend because they practice righteousness." You know, our goal is to get to Allah and to have Allah smiling and we smiling and be pleased. And so here, I love that she uses this ayat, because this ayah says he will be their friend. Alhamdulillah, to have Allah as your friend. And why is Allah your friend? Because you practice righteousness. You practice this self-restraint. You practice this love that was so great that it did not make you come out of character. Your attitude was one that you can maintain your dignity inside of the any challenges that you have. And she said there will be a home of peace. And this word for peace is salama, the root word of salama. She gives us the definition of this root word, and it's a very long definition, because so often we just accept it salama and salim and all the words that come from salama, Islam, Muslim, all of those. We accept that its meaning is all about peace only. But no, when she gives us the definition of salama, she has in here, it is to attain consistent peace, but also this definition of this word goes a little bit deeper, because we're looking for a peace that only God can give. We're looking for to be at peace with God, to be at peace with yourself, to be at peace with others, and to be good, to be in good health. That is salamat too. That is peace, to be in good health, to be in good sound mind, to be without blemish, and to be prosperous. So salama, peace, is bigger, because, you know, in Arabic, the words that we have are richer than what we'll find in the English language. So we may translate salama just for peace, but this is so much bigger when we start looking at this idea to be in sound mind without blemish and to be prosperous, to be in good health. This is the salama that we're talking about. And then the very first thing, to be at peace with God, peace with yourself, and at peace with others that you encounter. I love this, because if we're looking for prosperity in our relationships, if we're looking for this peace that we're talking about, we first must earn and work towards that peace with God and with ourselves, which also allows us to be in a peaceful state with others as well. And I know I've said a lot, so I do want to remind our listening audience, if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you agree, if you don't agree, we welcome your input, because this is a learning lab. And we're all learning together, and we're all sharing in this together. We're all growing in this together, and we consider this a healing opportunity for our relationships and for our communities as well. So we invite you to join us in this conversation. So I'm going to pause there, because I just did the opener for this principle number 4 of peace from chapter 14, looking at our actions and our attitudes, and have an attitude of prosperity, looking at being at peace with God and ourselves and others. All right, Mark, what do you say?
Well, you
anybody
know,
else?
Why
you,
oh, you said a mouthful there, Quran is so very important to be at peace with our God, our Lord. You know, this, you know, when you were talking about that, I know that she didn't say in mentioning the levels of the soul. But mm-hmm. please understand, radio listening audience is very, very important. We are all striving to get to that third level, which is Nefsem Mukmaina. Nefsem mm-hmm. Mukmaina. This is when the soul of the individual is at peace. And we've often heard it. We probably heard in khutbahs and all, when the soul is pleased and is pleasing to our Lord and Creator. This is very, very important, because what it is that you bring into the relationship is the state of the soul of the person. Okay, so, you know, are we still at the level of Nefsen Amara, Nefsen Lawama, or are we at that stage where I heard our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, say that he was in heaven right now here on earth? So when we look at the sacred institution of marriage, we have to understand that the marriage is the sum total of the two people in it. It's the sum total of the two people in it. What is it they're bringing into the marriage? And each soul emanates a certain spirit that comes from it. And so to have that peace that the soul is yearning for, to be at peace, but to be pleased and pleasing to its Lord and Creator, it will help you to be and to become the best mate that you possibly can. You can see an individual when they're at peace, but then you can also see a person that is in turmoil. And oftentimes relationships reflect the status or the state of the soul, you know, even in our thinking, even in our communication and all. We want to be able to have that type of understanding. Sometimes you see people have been married for a long time, you know, their soul is at peace, but they understand mm-hmm. This is very, very important when we look at having this particular quality or principle a part of our relationship, to have that peace. And so, you know, to have that, this also translates into having and showing and respecting the peace of our mate and making sure that that peace stays in the relationship. You know, as Graham was talking about Solomon, we say, As-salamu alaykum. It is the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give. So when we are greeting each other, including our mate, and yes, because you get married, that don't mean you stop saying assalamu alaikum. You know, I'm chuckling because I just remember a few years ago I was asked a question: Do you have to, or should you say assalamu alaikum to your mate? Yes, you should. You should always, mm-hmm. yeah. Because it's only assalamu alaikum is a greeting, but it's a dua. It is a dua too, you see, because we are recognizing that Allah is the source of peace. Matter of fact, as-salam is one of the attributes of Allah. He's the source of peace. And so when we extend that greeting, you know, we are really requesting that the peace that only Allah can give to you, you understand, can give to you, we are requesting that peace when we say that, but then it becomes an obligation on the one that extends that greeting, and it also becomes an obligation on the recipient of that greeting of peace. So this particular principle is paramount in the relationship. I don't remember the Arabic in the surah, room, but I know it is pertaining to what it is that we're talking about. And as Quran said, the English words kind of fall short in terms of giving the message as Allah would want us to have it. But Allah has said that among his signs is this, is that he has made for you mates from among yourself of like nature, that you may be able to dwell together in tranquility, you see. This is very, very important because when we look at Allah's creation, we don't see chaos in his creation. We do see peace and we see order. This is another thing that I think Quran is very, very important. You know, when we are able to begin to read creation, Imam, the big book, that's the big book. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's the big book. I'm going to stop there and pick up for me the Quran real quick. I got it.
All right, that was a great point. And what we're going to do is we're going to welcome one of our listeners who has pushed one on their phone to be a part of this conversation. So we are going to welcome 601-467. Welcome to IWDM, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
My name is Yusuf, and I'm sitting here with my wife, Zubeda. And we're calling from Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome. How are you, Brother Youssef?
Alhamdulillah, we're doing quite well, living in the state of righteous matrimony. So thank you very much, sister.
Yes,
you
sir.
Said.
You have a comment or a question for us?
Periodic interruption in what you're saying. I don't know if you can hear me at this particular time.
No, we can hear you very well, Brother Youssef. You're coming across loud and clear, and welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, Youssef. It's good to hear your voice, and Lameda, I don't know if she's close by, but then you have a question or comment that you'd like to make? Please do.
Yeah, I'm close.
Yes, she's close.
Alhamdulillah. So do you have a question or a comment?
Cut off for 10 seconds, and then you come back on for another 30 seconds. So this is what's happening with our phone. I don't know why it is, but we're not able to hear you continuously. We're interrupted.
So Yusuf, you having problems with your phone?
Yeah, it appears so. We listened to you last week. We didn't have this problem, but we're having a problem with the phone now.
Okay, what I would like to suggest that you maybe hang up and then try to call back in.
Okay.
Sometimes you can have a bad connection.
Yeah.
Try that,
yeah.
And then when you come back on, just press 1 and Quran will acknowledge you and bring you back into the queue. So just hang up and then call the number, call back in, and see if you get a better connection, okay?
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
I'll try that.
Well, it's so good to hear you.
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah, they contacted me a couple weeks ago, and at some point they have a very unique narrative, that I think might be very inspiring to our radio listening audience in terms of their marriage too. So, alhamdulillah. So, inshallah, he'll be calling back. I'm sorry, Grant, I had a slight emergency here and I had to break away, but. Do we have any other callers in the queue? But and we want to invite you. This is your learning lab. Please press 1. Come into the queue as Yusuf attempted to do. And if you have a question or you have a comment, you may not have a question or comment, but if you just want to call in just to express your elation, I would say, or what it is that you receiving in the Learning Lab, Quran, and I would really love to hear from you. You know, it's, a lot of times it's good for hosts to hear from the radio listening audience that to know that what is being said is actually resonating with the radio listening audience. And so we would love to get to hear the greetings from you and what your thoughts are. As Quran said, you don't have to agree with everything it is that we say, but we would love to hear what it is that you disagree with. You know, this is how we learn, because maybe some of you out there that have a wealth of experience, it can share something that would help others other than what it is that Quran or myself may be given here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So, Quran, I turn it back over to you. I don't know where we were.
Brother Yusuf and Sister Zubeda have called back in, so we're going to bring them back on. And let's see
good.
If we have a better reception. Brother Yusuf, is this a better reception?
Yes, sister, that's much better. The reception is
much better. Good. So we can hear you very well. And so, Yusuf and Sister Lebeda, whatever it is that you like to say, if you have a question or you have a comment, or if it's what some things that Quran and myself are saying is resonating with you, we would love to hear from you. So please.
Well,
go ahead.
As you were talking, what came to my mind, and you can pretty well imagine, that during the time I was locked up, and the wife would come to visit me, we had a chance to talk for several hours uninterruptedly. And during that time, I remember I was kind of popping off and taking charge of the conversation. And Zubeda told me, you know, he said, I made a statement, but she said, I'm a believer too. And being a light went on in my head when she told me this, you know. And it brought to the forefront that she is entitled to two sets of rights. She is entitled to the rights as being my wife, but she's also entitled to the rights as being a believer. And sometimes I believe that her rights as a believer will supersede those of her being a wife. For example, we know that the Quran, it allows for a certain type of admonishment to be imposed on the wife if it's justified to spank her lightly, but never in the face. But now, as far as the believer, her rights as a believer, you never put your hands on a believer. And so when I look at this, I say, oh, well, I can give her rights as a believer. And then we're told in the Quran to our relationship as a believer is one of lowering our wing. We know that this is an Arabic idiom that stems from the way a mother bird will put her brood up under her wing and lower it very tenderly. And so in our relationship with our wives, if we are made mindful of the fact that we're talking to a believer, as such, we have to lower our wing. And this has helped our relationship. Matter of fact, it sustained our relationship for the 54 years that I was locked up and she waited on me. And so I'm saying that with being mindful of the fact that your wife is a believer, she's entitled to certain rights that require you to lower your wing and be mindful. I'm mindful of this tone in which I talk to her. Everything, I'm not going to violate those rights, and not because of anything she does, it's because I have taken a shahada to do those things which are pleasing to Allah. It's our bad witness that there's no God but Allah. It's not we bad witness when I took the shahada. Our bad witness. So that placed an obligation on me to respect a believer's rights. And if we do respect a believer's rights, then we find ourselves having far less arguments. And I will say this, and I'm going to back out. Most of the arguments will stem from at some point when they really get heated and cause a breakup or divorce, it will stem from the fact that one spouse or the other is not treating the other spouse as a believer. If that's maintained, then you'll find that the temperament and the tone of the conversation or the dispute will take on a different flavor, take on a different shade if we're made mindful of the fact that we're talking to a believer and it is our obligation to lower your wing to a believer.
Thank you so much, Yusuf. You shared much with us and the radio listening audience. Is my dear sister, is she close by? Would you like to have something to say while?
Oh, yes, she's sitting next to me, and she's full of it.
Okay.
Okay, come on, sister.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah, alaikum assalam. Good talking to you all. And I just wanted to let you know, we did hear the other ones too when Sister Shaquila Rashad was on with her book. We did hear that one, and we heard the one last night. So we tried to get in on this one. And regarding the marriage, it's so much that I can say about that. But I just want the radio audience to know that there's so many things that kept this marriage very cohesive. And that was, I've been dealing with this man since we were 15 years old. So, of course, he's 6'2", 6'3". So he told me he was 16 when he was really 15. So so I know a lot about his, do's and don'ts and what he likes and what he wants. And then I always try to do things, sisters out there in the radio audience, to try to please them if they let you. Now, I know some of the ones won't let you please him. You know, you say, whatever I do, you just can't keep him happy. But he's always been a very, very nice person. And like I said, I've been dealing with him since I was 15. And so I know all about him. And I always try to do the things that we wouldn't have no problem with. And if it did come, when things come to a point like we're going to crash, I just give in, and I just go, I just hear what he have to say. And most of the time he's right. And if he disagree with me with something, we don't have to fight all night about his disagreement. You know how you say you can disagree and not be disagreeable, with each mm-hmm. other. So I try to do that and try to do things that keep him happy. And he's a very knowledgeable person. And they're calling him shaky already and trying to get him to come here and come there and whatnot. But that's important, sisters, is to try to work with them. I remember the imam said we were in Fayetteville, South Carolina, and I remember him telling the sisters to work with the brothers. He said, we've gone through a whole lot, and he's always reminded us to work with him, and I do work with him, and we kick back and forth with our knowledge. And I'm going to stop here and I'll get in on another program. But I am a very happy camper, and I don't think that I went wrong by waiting for this man 53 years. And as time go on, you will see why.
Alhamdulillah. This is a beautiful love story. As I spoke with both of them most recently and wanted to invite them to tune in, to listen in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. your story. You know, we have so much in terms of that we can learn from others and the experiences that they have, and they're willing to share. And so Quran, they was willing to share their story. So this is, and I told them this could be very, very inspirational to some people that's listening out there, you know. And I think it's so important, you know, what Yusuf said earlier in terms of seeing your mate as a believer and vice versa. Mm-hmm. This is very, very important when you're talking about rights. Let me clear one thing up. You know, I don't claim to be a chronic Arabic scholar or what, but learned enough. I feel Allah has blessed me with enough in terms of saying, because this has always been controversial in Surah Nisa in terms of the progression, in terms of when it gets to the Arabic word is Durba. And so Durba, it has like many English words in terms of definition, but it never, Allah never gave the message to ever strike a woman on no occasion. It is actually striking the earth in terms of moving away from at that point. Actually, in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually moved away from all of his wives for 30 days. What it constituted a month, it was actually 29 days. And as the narrative went, one of the caliphs, Umar ibn Khattab, his daughter Hafsa was one of the wives of the Prophet. And, of course, we know by Aisha, who was the daughter of Abu Bakr Sadiq, and all. Umar was so upset, and the rumor began to spread that the Prophet had divorced all of his wives. Umar was really frantic, and he was somewhat displeased with Hafsa, because during that time, he would always talk to her to make sure that she was not annoying to her husband and all. Because now remember, he's the messenger of Allah and all. And so you want to be very considerate, understanding his role and his mission and all of these things. And so he finally was able to find out where the Prophet had retreated. And when he was able to get in to speak to Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, he says, the first thing he asks, O Rasulullah, have you divorced all of your wives? That was the first question he wanted to ask. The Prophet told him no, he had not divorced his wives, but you can probably tell how, maybe say rumors, you know, sometimes get around in regards to some, and you know, even today, well, that's what happened then. And it's revealed in the Quran. But now his daughter Hafsa and Aisha, they were able to summons the other wives, and all what they wanted was to be able to receive more, as the various wars and all we call the spoils of war was increasing. It wasn't like they weren't being adequately taken care of, but they thought that they should get more. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving more and more to those who were in need of the needy. So it was revealed in the Quran in terms of that the wives, Allah would give them, if that's what they desire more the spoils of war, more so than Allah and his messenger, he would do that. But that meant that they would ultimately be divorced. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came back to his wives, he asked each one, starting with Aisha, they had to choose, you understand, between one more of the dunya or being with him as the messenger and Allah. And so all of them, long story short, all of them chose to stay with Allah's messenger and all. So I just want to just say that we should never, and in the prophet's life, there is never any narrative that you can find that he ever struck his wife or any woman, you see. And matter of fact, Revelation even came to the prophet to actually to fight against those who fight with you in terms of your enemy. Because early on in the prophets, in the seerah of the prophet, you know, he just was subjected to all kind of ridicule, mockery, and even those throwing stones at him and all of these things, you know. So he was subjected to a lot of cruelty by those who were in opposition to him and his newfound religion or way of life, you know. But there was no retaliation. And Allah says in the Quran that we should repel evil with something that is better, you know, in mm-hmm. that regard. So this is the Quran. And so to know and understand the Quran, to know the narratives, even historically what transpired, the prophet is an excellent model. And there's nowhere in the surah, the seerah of the prophet Muhammad, where he ever struck any woman, and now his wife with any woman, and he never won't find any hadith or anything. So the prophet models the revelation. He models the revelation. He modeled monogamy. He modeled polygyny, you know, and he never, they never thought or even felt like he need to strike them in that regard. But it is, Darbar is striking the earth, but it is moving away from. And if we look at strike, we should see it in terms of one to strike the consciousness. You see, there's a duality in terms of word usage. You can strike the consciousness of a person that may have aberrant behavior or what. You want to do that, we do that with our children. Mates can do that too, as far as they go. But striking the consciousness is totally different. So we want to have a very balanced, rational approach to that. We have to remember that we are the property of Allah, that we are grown and all. At some point, you shouldn't even be one to even have to even strike your children, if it was even lightly in that regard. You want to strike their consciousness. You want them to develop a moral conscience in terms of what it is that you're doing. There's a lot more I could say, even when it comes to stripes, but stripes and all of this. This has nothing to do with physical. Cutting off hands and all of this, it has a higher meaning than what it is that some people actually, with a misunderstanding, think that this is what Allah says do. But if you continue read the Quran, he was like, well, wait a minute. This don't seem like it's talking about physical. This is talking about something on a higher level. So I just want to say that, you know, because when we bring that up and everything, and I'm glad Yusuf brought it up, because if, in fact, that you see your spouse as a believer, as that's what we should, because we do have rights and all, and thank Allah. Mm-hmm. For that, and thank Allah's messenger, you understand, for being the perfect human model and respecting the rights of women, the rights of all believers, because prior to that, when we look at women, you understand, they were denied their rights, and even in contemporary history, it hasn't been that long if you study the history in terms of women's rights and all. But Prophet Muhammad was a liberator. He was an educator. He was a liberator, but he was a demonstrator of how you should treat women. And I could say a lot more, but I'll stop. I think I said enough. So alhamdulillah.
Well, thank you so much. We needed to hear that. We appreciate it. And Brother Yusuf and Sister Zubaydah, it is so wonderful to hear your voices and to have you join us this evening. And alhamdulillah, please continue listening. As we put you on mute, we ask you to push 1 on your phone to come out off the queue. And then looking at this subject, we're looking at peace in our marriages and understanding that our marriages are a gift to us, and it's also a blessing for us to have a marriage. And, you know, we look at it that way. So she talks about this attitude that we have, that we have to unlearn some of the things that the world teaches us that we should bring into our relationships. And so we bring what Allah wants us to bring into the marriage and into this relationship because it is His. It belongs to Him. And when we understand that, then our whole disposition, inshallah, will change. And we will use soap, so to speak, the Quran, and what Allah gives us to wash out those feelings that we may have had embedded in us through time. So being in a marriage is an opportunity for us to practice now what Allah has been telling us that we must do. It's an opportunity for us to practice and to... So we talk about presenting a united front. I love that. Presenting a united front, that means that, to me, this is what it means, and Mark, I want to hear what you have to say about that united front. And anybody else in the audience who wants to join us, you are listening to IWDM, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and it's just that, a learning lab. And if you are listening online, we invite you to join us in the studio at, what's our number here, 714-816-4673. Yes. Join us here in the studio. Yes, join us in the studio to be a part of this conversation, because I think this thing right here, this idea of salama, peace, and this peace where we're pleased with God and we have good health. So good health is that physical health, spiritual health, mental health. That is the peace. So sometimes we have emotional disruptions in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds that rips us apart, and we're not healthy. So we have to get healthy to get to that peace that Allah is promising us in the relationship. And Allah says the promise of Allah is true. His promise is true. And so we have to believe that that peace is available to us and that it is ours to have. So we maintain peace by both the husband and the wife being loving and giving. So this last week we talked about charity at home. Be giving in your relationship. And don't, as you said earlier, Mark, let's not keep tabs on one another. I did this, and you got to do this. Keep tabs because the relationship loses, not one or the other. And you're not in this to be in competition with one another.
No.
You are linking arms and walking as one another's legs together, feet together. You're working this together. I think that is so important for us to emphasize, and we cannot overemphasize this, that you are in this together and build that peace together. The sister in this book, she talks about feeling shortchanged, and I think that that attitude of feeling shortchanged can also diminish or bring some kind of demise to the relationship when we feel like I don't have the best end of this stick. Well, if you're in the relationship, then you make the stick the best for both of you. And she talks about mutual understanding and mutual agreement, so that to have that peace, you agree on how your home will be established. So if you're in a courtship, in that courtship, then you are looking at, look at the fine details of that home. And if you know that you're marrying somebody who doesn't make all 5 prayers, you are expecting all 5 prayers, you got to be do some reality there, because you're not going into that marriage to change anybody. You accept them for who they are and where they are. That's how you keep your own peace and sanity, I have to tell you. And your prayer, you can pray for them to become this person, but you cannot challenge them and make them and give them ultimatums or any of that, because you knew who you married.
So when you go into a relationship trying to change somebody to be who you want them to be, to shape them in the shape you want them to be shaped in, that's not fair. It is mm-hmm. unfair for you to do that. And so you have to accept them for who they are. So that's why in the courtship, you make sure you are examining those things that are deal breakers for you and do not break the deal with yourself to say, maybe I can make this work. That's breaking the deal with yourself. So whatever you know you must have, then stick with that because you will be frustrated otherwise unless you change your attitude. And a changed attitude can really evolve a relationship so very much. So this idea of finding mutual understanding and mutual agreement, and she mentions here the child rearing and the parenting and working within the household, all of that is things to be considered, how your living conditions will be, who will cook, and shopping, you know, who will do that? We'll both do that. Who will maintain the money that you have? How will you budget? All of that's a part of that mutual agreement and mutual understanding. As well, I love this, because too often, as we mentioned last week, we try to make it the wife's duty to maintain everything in the house. And so she mentions here there should be a mutual understanding and respect the need for consistent self-care for the woman. She needs self-care. So grant her time and space for that self-care, for her own peace, so that she can build the foundation she needs to be who she needs to be, mainly because her body physically goes through a lot. And so she needs time to care for her body. But that needs to be mutually agreed upon so that they don't go in and there's an argument the first time she needs to rest and or just shower or bathe for 2 hours, and she can sit in that tub for 2 hours. That shouldn't be cause for disagreement. So this idea of a united front and working with the mutual agreements, the mutual understandings, as a part of this attitude of establishing and maintaining peace in the household, I think is important. And then I'm going to give one quote that she gives here that I love. She says, the act of enduring the biological changes associated with creating new life can be emotionally and physically taxing on both the husband and the wife. So, you know, sometimes, as I just mentioned about the wife, husbands also go through physical changes that need understanding distances. And so we have to understand and be patient with them to give peace in our household. And Mark, something I said made somebody push one on their phone. And so we are going to go through our lines.
Let's go immediately to right. Anchor and hear what they have to say. So you press the nerve.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. May we good one. All right, 404-368. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You got a question or comment, please?
This is Sister Tawanda from Decatur, Georgia. Yes, it was something that you said that made me. I want to get married. I really want to get married. You make me want to get married. But I also want to say this here. My nephew just got married Saturday. He had a Muslim wedding. I'm so happy for my nephew. That him and his wife, they're married, and he's young, and I'm so happy for what you said. I can't repeat what you said verbatim, but what you said was so beautiful about marriage, about the sisters, and about the man, about the taking care of each other. Because I can remember one time when my sister got married. And I told her husband, I said, you make sure you take care of my sister. He said to me, well, what about her taking care of me? I said, you know what? You are so right, Kirk. You're right. Take care of each other. And my prayer for my nephew is that that they're good for each other and that they'll be good to each other. And I think I lost so much for my nephew. And my niece is married. She just got married. And I pray that, you know, her husband, that they have a long marriage and have beautiful babies, have healthy children together, and that they do this thing together. She's not married. So she didn't have a Muslim wedding. And they didn't marry Muslim husband or wives or nothing like that. But my nephew, he was born Muslim, but he made sure they had a Muslim wedding, and they had two weddings to respect her mother, her side of the family, because they're not Muslim. But they had I think I lost so much because, you know, they're young. And I pray that Allah, that they do a good thing for each other and that they be good to each other. And I thank Allah so much for that. And thank you for having this this program, because this helps me. Because I pray and I ask Allah to make me a better mother, a better sister, a better friend, and one day to be a good wife to a believing Muslim man. Because, yes, what you said too about being the same way, like what you expect that person to be, you be that same person, the charity. Because it does start at home and spread the joy. Because if you give or if he give, you got to be a giver too. It can't be one side. And I don't believe in that 50-50 either. I believe in we all do this thing together. I know I'm 59, but I refuse to get married just to say I'm married. I've been proposed to from the age of 12, but I told my father when my father accepted a brother's hand for my hand for his for marriage. And my father asked me, says, what happened to that brother? And I told my father. Later on, you know, he killed himself because he contracted AIDS. And I think Allah, because Allah has always been there with me, you know. And I just realized that recently that all this time, Allah was always there for me. I just realized that recently, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like yesterday, recently, like, oh my God, he's been there for me all this time, and I just realized that.
What's your name, sister? Once again, what's your name again? Before you leave,
Tawanda.
Decatur, Georgia.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I'm. That means Tawanda means yellow feather, one who rises with the sun. I'm part.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Push one on your phone as you come out, and I'll make my comment. But I would just recommend to you, because I know you've been patient in this quest for your mate, and just a reminder to all of us in the search for a mate, so those in the courtship process, we have emphasized here, and I know Sister Tawanda understands, but I just want to say it on the program, is that when we look at this idea of courtship, we believe that this is like a fact-finding mission. And so you are getting facts about that potential mate to determine if you can live with them as they are and go forward in that relationship with them. So I would just recommend that those in the courtship phase that you design, this is what I call it when I'm doing my sessions, design that mate for yourself, meaning outline based on your experiences and who you are, outline what you need in a mate. So it won't just be physical looks that you need, or it won't just be somebody who will read Quran to you, Colossians in. No, outline what it is. So if you were in a relationship where you had a very loving and tender father and you need that, then that's what you put down. I need someone who's loving and tender. Or if you know, I know I had a friend who said, I am horrible with money, and I need someone who's good with money so that we can get our finances in order. So
So to know exactly what you need, you make that list of those things. And when you meet these people and you're talking with these individuals and you are learning who they are, not just by what they say, but what you witness, what they do, then you can determine, is this the one for me or not? And if it is the one for you, you make that istikhara prayer, and may Allah bless you in that. So my prayer for you, my dear sister, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with the wonderful mate that you are seeking, because, you know, we have learned the one you're seeking is seeking you. So we keep our eyes and ears open for them, inshallah. And then as we continue this conversation then about chapter 14, actions and attitudes, looking at peace itself, we move past this idea of the Mark, did you have a comment about the mutual agreement?
No, please go ahead and continue we can get as much from the excerpt that you highlighted. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. So there's this other concept about being nourished and sustained in our marriages, and that's also another opportunity for peace. And the thing that she talks about is God would have us to exist within marriages that strengthen and nourish the individuals within them. So we have to look at, how am I nourishing first myself and then nourishing my mate? You know, what kinds of things am I doing that's nourishing, that is sustaining to them or for them, and sustaining for the marriage itself? Every day should be that kind of investment. And when we're looking at this, we don't have time for the chaos. We don't have time for the fitna in the marriages. We look to build the peace in the marriages by looking at how we can nourish and how we can sustain this relationship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide the peace, provide the happiness, provide the love and tranquility throughout all of the seasons of the marriage itself and the family life, because marriage goes through seasons. Know that. Do not expect what you see in the movies, that it's somebody skipping along all the time in this joyous state that they present to us. That is not reality. It is not reality. So we have to really be realistic. And I think that our idea of being realistic helps us to create a real sense of peace in the relationship. And Allah talks about this sakina, this idea of tranquility in the relationship. That is that peace that only Allah can give to us. And we want that, that heaven on earth is what I call it. You can have that heaven on earth if we just adjust our own attitudes and our actions, making that adjustment and not seeing it as a burst, like they're knocking down my ego. And you know what the ego is, easing God out. So we don't want to knock down that ego and knock out, you know, what Allah has given us as a blessed opportunity to grow inside of that relationship. So the last thing I want to say, and I'll open it up for you, Mark, is this idea of sowing seeds of consistent peace and intimacy, and have actions that reflect the attitudes that we are grooming and growing in the relationships. And that's when we can really, inshallah, grow the peace. And I just keep saying grow that peace, because I know that peace just doesn't just happen. It is an earned thing that comes with time, that comes with us merging our lives together and making it work, not just having it just, but it is a process that we really make inside of that, because we are intentionally working on being what Allah would have us to be. So I'm going to pause there, my Mark, and let
I just say alhamdulillah, the praises, the thanks belongs to Allah. Excellent, excellent, excellent excerpt and commentary that you made on Sister Akilah. You know, just to go back to some of the things that you said, is listening very attentively to some of the things that you said in your commentary. Very, very important in terms of thinking, one says the Sister Tawana and all that may be listening, that seeking a desire, a mate, never go in with the idea that I'm going to change this person. You see, I'm on the topic of peace. Acronym for that is this: choose to have a new growth experience. Choose to have a new growth experience. We have to understand the concept of change. Change is an inside job. We can go to the Quran to support that. Allah says he will never change the condition of a people or even as an individual until we change something within ourselves. The expression time said is the soul, something has to be changed in the soul. I heard Imam Muhammad speak about the heart. And we know that the heart is symbolic of the intentions and motivations that it is that we have individually. But this is very important to know that change is an inside job. Sometimes people would pretend to change only because of the fact that they just want to be married. And as Sister Tawana said, that's not ultimately her goal in terms of that. We're going to have a learning lab on marriage and look at it from an Islamic perspective as opposed to Western society, because oftentimes I hear people saying, I'm going to get married on a certain day. No, you're not. You're no more so than we know when we're going to actually die or transition. And that's a mercy. Yeah, that's a mercy, because just think, if we knew the day that we would cease to exist physically, most of us wouldn't make it to that date. So Allah has us that mercy. You know, it kind of reminds me of the old game we used to play when we were children. You remember the game of musical chairs? And when the music stopped, there was always one less chair than it was in terms of the children going around the chair. And then the one that didn't get the chair, they ultimately was out. But the fact of the matter is this, that we never want to go into thinking that we can change anybody. You're talking about not having peace in a relationship. This can bring on a whole lot of things like hostility and resentment, produce grudges and all of these things that are detrimental to us in terms of having established that peaceful relationship, that calm that we are looking for. And as Quran so eloquently articulated, we have to be healthy, not only healthy physically, but every component that comprises the wholeness of the human being. We want to be healthy mentally. We want to be healthy rationally, healthy emotionally, healthy in terms of being as a social being, healthy as being a spiritual being, you know. And when we're in good health, this means that everything is working in accordance with God's will and plan for us, because he wants us to experience the peace that only he can give, the tranquility.
Yeah.
This is what that Allah promises us in the Quran. But there is prerequisites for getting that. You see, because as I go back to what I was saying, as Sister Tawana mentioned, that's the reciprocity. We should not be looking for, and we can have the list. That's fine. But just make sure, when you have the list, the checklist is that you check yourself first. You know, you check yourself. Yeah, this is very important. You have to check yourself first. You see, when we talk in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, they're all relationships, the foundation for all good, healthy, harmonious relationship that includes where you have the peace and all of that, is that it's based on your relationship with your Lord and Creator. This helps to shape and to form all the qualities and the characteristics of being the best man, the best woman that you can be. Being the best husband, the best wife that you can be. Being the best father, the best mother that you can be. And I say it in that order because oftentimes, you know, even now in Muslim communities, and ours no exemption, we often, our children, grandchildren, often, you know, are producing children out of wedlock. And, of course, we're going to still love the baby, and still there is a relationship, because when Allah says he's established relationship of lineage and marriage, marriage becomes the extension and how we extend the family life. But we want to do it the right way, the correct way. And so the foundation is our relationship with our Lord and Creator, and then how we relate to the various components that comprise the human being. And we're going to have a conversation, inshallah, on one of the learning labs and see that courtship is supposed to help us to be able to say, yes, there is a relativeness. Yes, there is a connectiveness, that we have both discovered in this courtship. And yes, you understand, there is a union, you know. And then we can assess our relationship as we assess ourselves. But we should never have a list to the point whereas it becomes unrealistic. Because if that Allah blesses us to find that mate, do you understand, in regards to that, then we have the checklist to say, wait a minute, I'm looking for something in somebody else that I don't even possess myself. So now the peace, how long, if you get this, I mean, the law of reciprocity has to take place in that relationship. Mm-hmm. You see, it's like even in the movies, even the bad guy, he's looking for a good woman too. Every man is looking for a good woman. But the question becomes, how long could that relationship last? And the answer is not long. Why? Because there's going to be that the bad person is looking for a good woman that don't lie, she don't steal, she don't cheat. But he does all of that. So now you have to ask yourself the question, how long would that last? And the answer would be probably not long. So the checklist is that when we write those things down, we'll go over this in the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship, the do's and don'ts, and how we should assess that and how we should assess ourselves. So when I say it is that we have to be the person that we want to meet, I'm going to say that again. You have to be the person that you want to meet. Because we just left partnership. You know, will you be able to form a partnership? You know, and how much in terms of commonality do we have? Word the in and ality is a play on the word reality. The reality of what is do we have in common? What is that we have in common? Is the sincerity there? Is the honesty there? You know, is the integrity there? Is the transparency there? You know, this will let us know if there is and can be compatibility. All of these things actually precede what it is that we're talking about in terms of tranquility or actually peace. This is why the courtship phase is vitally important. As Quran often said, this is fact-finding. Karen said, this is fact-finding. She calls it fact-finding. This could become an investigation. Fact-finding. You know? So, alhamdulillah, but this is good because you don't want to have anything to hide. You know, the transparency is that, you know, I'm not hiding this. I have to let you know. You know? We just had a brother and sister come on earlier, and everything. I know everything about, pretty much everything about this brother. And she saw that he was worth waiting on. Now, you just think about this here. How many would have had the patience and all to wait for all of this time in that record?
Half a century.
Over a half a century, 53 years.
Yes.
I think the last time I checked was 50, it was half a hundred. Did it change?
Yes. No, you're right.
So over a half a century. You know, so this is a beautiful, a love story in that regard.
Yeah, I love
the
advice that she gave, too. The advice
that's
she gave to the sisters, but I think it's to all of us.
To all of us, we all need to have the heat taken. To that advice, yes.
But she said, sometimes, I'm paraphrasing it, I know what she meant, but she said, sometimes you just shut your mouth and just listen. That's in essence what she was saying, is that you don't have to always win an argument. You don't have to always be in battle to prove something. Sometimes I tell my students, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth. Then you can hear some things. You can hear some things. And sometimes, what we do in that is that we listen waiting for the chance to respond. But really listen with our heart and listen to hear what that person is saying and what they're not saying. Because sometimes they'll say something that may not come out right. But if you really listen because you love them and you listen from a loving perspective, you will hear what they're saying. But most importantly, even if you don't get what they're saying, there's a process where you reflect and you repeat what they said because you've listened so carefully. And you repeat it. What I hear you saying, and you say this in a loving way, what I hear you saying is, and you repeat what they said.
That's right.
And that gives them an opportunity to hear what they just said. So if it didn't come out right, they'll say, no, that's not what I meant. Oh, yes, that's it. You get it. And imagine how much softness will come into that relationship because a simple thing happened, listening. Listening. Yes. And so this part of peace building means that you release all of that hyped up stuff that makes you haughty, that makes you arrogant, that makes you bigger, that makes you in need of proving. You do not have to prove a thing except to Allah. Prove to Allah that you are His and His alone and that you're willing to do this thing to make that marriage work on behalf of Allah. Now, the other thing that we talk about now, there shouldn't be an abuse. We're not talking about accepting abuse. And we're talking about abuse verbally and abuse emotionally and abuse physically. All of those are abusive. Oh, and I wanted to say, when we were talking about the striking, when you talked about the daraba, the striking, the other definition that I love, and I meant to mention this, was in this book, Muslim Marriage Makeover, and Modeling Muhammad the Prophet to Make Waves in Your Marriage with a Ripple Effect. And I repeat it so that any of you who are listening and you want to get that book, please go and get the book. The author is Akilah Nafisa Rashid. But one of the things she mentions about this word strike that, becomes a source of contention for many, but the strike that stuck with me was like when an employee goes on a strike and they march, the feet, they march and to prove a point, to strike the consciousness of the employer. They don't physically hit them,
they
hit the conscience by walking away from the job and then marching to say, here's what I'm looking for. And putting before them their needs and their wants because they weren't being heard in the other way.
Yes.
And so to get to their conscience they did this Daraba, this strike, this march, this walk away from. So I think that's another part that is important to emphasize. And
oh,
I know I said a lot. And I want to give the audience an opportunity. So if anyone in the audience has a comment, has a question, push one on your phone, and we will bring you into the conversation. And I do see that our two previous callers, you're still
they've returned,
queue, so
but maybe they have something to say. So you want to open their mic up to see if they want to respond to some of this excellent commentary that you're giving, correct?
Yes, I definitely will, okay. And so we're going to bring back in Sister Tawanda. Welcome back. You have a question or a comment?
No, I just want you to repeat your email because I would like to get that book.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We can just tell you the book is, and I can email it to you as well. Our email address, for those of you who do want to email us, if you don't want to make a comment or a question on air, you can definitely email us, and we will respond to you. The email address is bringittothelab@gmail.com. And the book is Muslim. Go ahead, Mark.
It's Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet in Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. And you can also go to Amazon. I know that's one of the sources in which you can, because I think I ordered from Amazon. You can get it there. But it's there. And it may be other sources, but Amazon, you can try that first and foremost. It's an excellent book or resource book to have. And while Karen and I are actually on it, you can follow along with us, and you can also have it to actually go back to. It's a good reference book too, you know. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have Sister Akila, Nafia, Rashida.
Nafisa.
Rashid. The last Rashid. Name is Rashid.
Rashid, okay, let's fix that. Okay, Marriage and Makeover, Modeling the Prophet
Muhammad.
No,
Muslim
Marriage.
Well, I will email it to you.
She'll email it to you.
And I will also post it on our social media. That will be on Facebook and Instagram. And our handle, as I call it, is Bring It to the Lab. So we are on Instagram and Facebook, and I will post it there as well.
Okay. Do you want my email address now?
Not on air, I don't. So what I'll do is you can email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com, then I'll respond to you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, sister.
Yes, ma'am. Put one on your phone as you come out.
Thank you, Tawanda, for calling back. And we want to encourage all that radio listening audience. Karan and I both are endorsing. This is an excellent publication, really. Wow, you know, so much valuable information. And what I like about it, Quran, is that our beloved sister Akila is using the Quran as the foundation for her commentary. You know, I love that. And I love the fact that she's using Sahih Hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the tafsir, in many instances, of Imam Dawuddin Muhammad. Also, there is Imam Shamsuddin. She mentions him throughout the book.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we want to have more publications that actually will be helping us to have that Muslim marriage. It should be very, very distinct, that we are in accordance with God's will and plan. So this is an excellent publication. Let me say something real quickly when you were talking about the importance of listening. There's an old saying, arguments begin because the ears have cut off the lines of communication. I'm going to say that again. Arguments begin because the ears have cut off the line of communication. So very, very important that part of the communications that I know early on in the Course of Marriage Learning Lab on the sister station, AM360, I did about 6 weeks just on communication. Communication, the styles of communication in terms of listening, the five styles of listening in all, that men have a different platform in terms of listening from, as women have different platform. But let me say this, and you might want to take note, there are five styles of listening. One is ignoring. This is the most disrespectful form of listening. And number two is pretending that you're listening. Oftentimes you see in a relationship that sometimes parents will do that to their children, especially if they're preoccupied with something that they're giving their attention to. And as oftentimes children will try to get you to listen to what it is that they're saying or what it is, pay attention to what they've done. And oftentimes parents are pretending as they listen and say, oh, that's a nice horsey. And you say, well, that's not a horsey, that's a dog. Well, you were just pretending like you was listening, you see. And we have, as it pretending to listen, we have what's called selective listening. Yes, and it's just exactly what the word says, is that we select the things that we want to hear. And then, of course, we just ignore the things you don't want to hear. So now you're talking. When you're saying something that person agree with, you understand that is selective, but they're not listening to the totality of what it is that you're saying. They're just selecting what it is they want to hear. And then you have what is called attentive listening. Attentive listening oftentimes is personified more by men than women. But that is a small percentage of communication, which is words and words only. Words and words only. Believe it or not, it's the small percentage is just the words that's used. Sometimes the social scientists say it's somewhat between 7 to 10%. Often the biggest part of communication is often nonverbal, somewhere between 55 to 58% nonverbal. 35 to 38% is tone of voice in communication. It should be noted that these things are very, very important when we talk about communication and we want to keep peace. And we will talk about these things and that we keep peace. One of the things I want to add before we have to sign off is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, back in the day, he would tell us that we should think five times before mm-hmm. we speak. Some of you that wasn't in the nation, you might have heard it. Five times before you speak, and perchance that you might be right after five times. So as a wordologist, I thought about this, and my mind went to work on coining an acronym for this, and this is how we can assess ourselves in terms of questions that we should ask before we actually speak. The word think is five letters. The first letter stands for true. We should ask ourselves, if what I'm about, we're still on the line of peace, because oftentimes we'll see that peace is disturbed in the relationship because we don't think. So the T stands for true. So what we want to say in our communication with our mate, is it true? Because if it's not true, that means that it's going to be false, and so we shouldn't say it. And the next letter in the word think is it going to be helpful? Is it going to be helpful? Because if it's not helpful, the opposite of that, then it's going to be hurtful or harmful. And so that's not going to bring about the keeping this deal, promoting the peace. And so the next letter is I. We should ask ourselves, you understand? That's inspiring or inspirational, inspiring. So if it's not going to be inspiring, it's going to be discouraging. So that would say to us that we don't need to say that. We don't need to say that because it's going to be discouraging. And then this is a biggie, you know, Quran in the word think. And this is what breaks peace and keep arguments going all the time. Is it necessary? Is it necessary? Oh, boy, that's a big one. Is it necessary? Oftentimes we say things, you understand, that are not necessary. And we should never be any name calling because now your mate takes the defensive or go on the offensive. You know, is it necessary? And if it's not necessary, then it's unnecessary. So then we shouldn't say it. And then finally the K, is it kind? Because if it's not kind, it's cruel. If we go through the first four and it's true, if you intend for it to be helpful, you intend for it to be inspiring, and what you said was necessary, but if you say it in a cruel way, you have just defeated the other four in terms of your communication. There's a lot more I could say about that. But I think that if you put that acronym down and you go through that process when you're communicating in your relationship or communicating with anybody as far as that go, and you ask yourself, is this true? Is this going to be helpful? Is it going to be inspiring? Is this necessary? And can I say it in the most kindest way that I can say it? Then you can go ahead and say that, and you'll have better communications. I just wanted to say that, Quran, as we get ready, we're approaching the topic.
The fifth style of listening. I heard ignoring, pretending to listen, selective listening, attentive listening. What was the fifth thing?
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Karen. I tell you when you start getting a few years on yourself, you know, your mind comes and goes, and it was gone. Okay, so the fifth style, yes, thank you, Karen. The fifth is the most important, and it is the best of listening, and that's called empathic listening, empathic listening. And, of course, you hear the root word empathy, not sympathy.
Yes.
That's when you empathic listening is when you really something that Karan was saying earlier, you know, in terms of communication, good communication. If you're truly listening, to show that you're truly listening, oftentimes a person will repeat what I hear you saying is, and then da 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 da, so that your mate know that you have truly, sincerely listened to them, you see? And so once you can state that, now you understand that opens the door for your mate to be able to listen to you. One of the major rules in communication is first to seek to understand before being understood.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in relationships, you have two people that are eager to talk at the same time. Let me get mine out. Okay. So they're arguing over who's going to talk first. And I was once asked that question. Well, then, Brother Shahid, who should talk first? The anxiety of both who talk first. Well, I said, easy. The one that has the most understanding, yield, and let the other one talk first. But you understand, validate that you actually have listened to them. Not one of those things that sometimes, do you understand? I hear you. You know, I feel you. I hear you. No, don't say I hear you because, you know, when we talk about this is one of our five senses. If there's nothing wrong physically with our ears, we'll be able to hear. Listening is totally different. Listening is giving attention to all that's being communicated. So that means, like, it involves giving your attention to all that's being communicated. Hearing is just like you could be doing something early in the morning, the birds are chirping. You hear them, but you may hear a cricket or something else that's going on. You may have music playing or what. So we want to differentiate, because listening is the art of perceiving all that is being communicated. It's the art of perceiving all of that. So as Quran said, when you repeat back what your mate have said, this validates that you actually have been listening to them. So empathic listening is that your mate know that you understand what it is that they have communicated, and that you actually are in accordance with their feelings. You understand how they feel. So not only do you understand what they have communicated, but you understand how they feel. Now, don't mistake that to say that empathic listening means that in that conversation or look like would be an argument or what, that you agree 100%. It doesn't mean that. You can understand what a person is saying, and you can understand how they feel, but nevertheless, you could disagree with that. But what happens in most cases, the person don't feel like they're listened to, and so they become, why should I actually listen to you? But if you employ that, that wisdom to seek to understand before being understood, then I think you'll be more effective in your communication. And listening most certainly is a part of that communication. Remember that story that I always give you when I was in the seventh grade. The teacher asked, why do you think the Creator gave you two ears and one mouth? And then nobody can answer the question. He asked again. Nobody raised a hand, and I didn't raise my hand either. You know, everybody looking at me, and some of the other children they thought was smart, the smartest children in the class. I didn't raise my hand either because I really didn't know the answer. So Mr. Hudson said, it is simple. The Creator intended for you to do twice as much listening as you do talking. Because when you talk, you only repeat what it is that you know. But when you listen, perchance, you will learn something that you didn't know. And then when you talk, you have more to say. So with that being said, Quran Shakir, I hope that our radio listening audience got something tonight as we are on the fourth of the six letters in this word, Ripple, which is peace. And and also I want to give you at least a couple of minutes for any closing remarks that you have, and then I will close this out. Correct?
Yes, alhamdulillah. Thank you so very much. And we just want to remind our listening audience of a few things. First, we offer gratitude to all of the men and women that served our country through the varied military branches. I know we're still in this time, and then we're in this time of being grateful, and we say it's always a time to be grateful. That the 2021 Muslim Journal of Time to be Grateful will be posted by the Atlanta Masjid of Al-Islam December 10th through the 12th with the theme Al-Inshira, Resilience, Restoring, Refocusing, Replenishing. And this year's virtual event celebrates and awards 20-plus heroes and features more than 30 engaging sessions on estate planning, business and finance, relationships, media communications, Islamic education, and health and wellness. We are now in the phase of registering, but we are also looking for nominees for our awards, and we ask you to go to the Muslim Journal Facebook page or Instagram page to get the link so that you can nominate someone for our awards. And we ask you to go there also to register for the upcoming event that is happening December 10th through the 12th. We thank you, dear listening audience, for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. We pray that you have benefited from our learning lab. And if you did, we ask you to tell a friend. And to join you next time, we ask you to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and send us your questions and comments at our email, bringittothelab@gmail.com.
Facebook and Instagram is Bring It to the Lab, inshallah. Last thing that we want you to do is to go that next week, next week we're taking a break. The following week when we come back.
There you go.
Yes, inshallah. When we come back, then we will be on chapter 15. So tell everybody, chapter 15, which is patience and forgiveness as a model to peace or a mode to peace, the fifth principle of the book that we're looking at. So, again, we thank you for tuning in. We ask you to let your attitude determine your altitude, how high you can go in your relationship. And may Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant you salamah, the peace that he loves and that you love, and that he elevates you such that you are at peace with him, yourself, and others. Ameen. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Your turn, Mark.
Alaykum as-salam, Quran Shakir. I thank you for all that very valuable information you just disseminated. And I want to thank you on National Radio for all the insight and wisdom that you share each and every Thursday night here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I know I appreciate you greatly, and I'm quite sure that our National Radio appreciate you also. I want to thank our radio listeners for tuning in tonight to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and listening, and particularly those who have called in and been participants in the Learning Lab tonight, as this is your Learning Lab. I also want to say to you to please to tune in tomorrow. It's tomorrow. It's Salatul Jumu'ah Day here on IWDM Radio. And as we have Imam Michael Mikhail Sayer, a longtime resident Imam Al Noor Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana, you can tune in for the Salatul Jumu'ah there. And that takes place at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And Sunday, the longest standing production that we have here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People, once again with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir, always having very intriguing guests and also topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And that happens every Sunday afternoon here on IWDM Radio, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, high noon Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And we are pleased to announce the most, I would say, latest production here that we have that made their debut this past Tuesday is The Science of Your Health and You, The Science of Your Health and You, and that's hosted by Rashid Salam and Imam Abdul Shahid, The Science of Your Health and You. This is an excellent learning lab with a lot of very substantive, very valuable, beneficial information, cytometry, and you don't want to miss that. That begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. That's each and every Tuesday night. So you want to bring your pen and pad to that learning lab. And, of course, the sister learning lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Salahuddin and Najwa Abdul Tawab and yours truly, Mark Shahid. That happens each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. And you can tune in at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time as we are doing a review of the whole of the book, accelerated review of those who may have missed it on the 21 Indispensable Essential Qualities of a Leader by Dr. John C. Maxwell. That is another book that we are endorsing that you need to have on your bookshelf also. And it's followed by the MGM Roundtable, as I always like to present to our community, very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community, the community, Imam W. Dean Muhammad, but also those outside of the community, Imam W. Dean Muhammad, and topics that are pertinent to us, the community. As last night, we had Sister Naima and our dear Sister Karan Shakir and Professor Aisha K. Mustafa of the Muslim Journal on, as I guess, as they gave us a very substantive informational and updated information in terms of the 2021 Time to Be Grateful that's going to be held by the Atlanta Masjid. We do encourage that you go ahead and get registered and all go to the website. You can do it through Muslim Journal. You'll be able to do it through the Atlanta Masjid and all, but by all means, get registered. And those who want to do sponsorship, all that information is there. And also those who want to donate, all the information is there. That will take place December the 10th through the 12th there in Atlanta. And you don't want to miss, you don't want to miss this. And if you missed last night, you can go back in the archives and retrieve the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. That starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and 5 Pacific Coast Time. And that brings us back to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And as Karan Shakir said, we will not be broadcasting next week because next week will be Thanksgiving. So we want to make sure that everybody have that day off and they can be with their family and friends and community members in their own locale. And also we'll take that day off as I traditionally do on broadcasting on AM 360 in the first year here on IWDM Radio. But also, inshallah, we said, God willing, that when we do come back, we're looking to have one of our very scholarly and very learned imams. That's Imam Fahim Shuaib, looking to get a confirmation on him joining us the first Thursday in the month of December. And we will, and myself, would engage him on what we just completed. We want to have him to give commentary on each one of these valuable principles as we just completed partnership. So, inshallah, let's pray that Imam Fahim Shuaib can be with us when we return in 2 weeks for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And please don't forget our beloved sister, Fitra Muhammad, Study Al-Islam, some of the most outstanding intellects in our community. Karan Shakir has been on there several times herself. We want to listen in to that 30 minutes of really information and education that they share each and every Sunday morning. For those in the Eastern Standard Time, it happens for you at 10 a.m. Those in the Central, it's 9 a.m., and out West, it's 7 a.m. And we also want to say that to assess that, you need to dial 412-770-4160. I'll say that again, 712-770-4160. And if you happen to miss it, just change the 0 to a 9. But I know that that number has changed, so when you call that number, they will give you the new number. The access code is still the same as 684-012-pound. So please tune in for that. And once again, we do support the Muslim Journal here at IWDM Radio. We do ask that you support it. If you have a subscription, think about somebody else that you love in your family, in your community, your neighbor, friend, associate. Then make as a gift a subscription for them also. And last but not least, please, let's make sure that we get registered and make it a family affair in terms of the 2021 Time to Be Grateful to be held December the 10th through the 12th. Let's reserve that time and support this major fundraiser for the Muslim Journal, as it is the lifeblood of our community. So with that being said, this salam is for you and yours. Until 2 weeks from now, as we return back to the airwaves for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, may God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.